Okay, we're up to Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel. Perek and Pasuk Gimel. So yesterday we began to discuss the sugya of the destruction of Tsar. Imala Hacharavah. The pasuk I was looking for yesterday over here is in the Balaturim. It's the pasuk that says Ulaom Milaam Yematz. That was the pasuk that I was looking for. Ulaom milam yemas, and one nation will prevail upon the other nation. As Chazal said, that Kesari, Yerushalayim the Kesari, with regard to these two cities, Kesari was one of the cities of Rome. Rome, Caesarea, in Eretz Yisrael, it was a Roman city. Had the mic, microphone is broken.
Not to use it downstairs, I try to find it for Rabbi Edinburgh.
It's gone?
No. They don't know where it is. I asked someone to call up to see who rented it last night, to see if they could find it. It's not here, it was put downstairs.
Okay, all right, whatever it is, all right. Don't worry about it, okay? Okay. We'll do the best that we can.
No, I was down there. I was there earlier because Rabbi Edinburgh, and then I spoke to some of the people downstairs.
All right, so over here we have this theme of Kesari and Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim v'Kesari, one is Rome, one represents Rome, one represents Yerushalayim. They cannot coexist. Ul'om mil'om yematz. V'rav yavoy tzoyer, it cannot be that when one is dominant, then the other is weak. When the roles are reversed, then things are reversed. Okay, so let's go further. Now we're at the Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel again is Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel. L'chein divrei Kol Hashem Elokim hinei alecha tzar. Hashem says, I am against you. I am going to attack you. V'haleisi alayich goyim radim. I'm going to bring against you nations, great nations. Ki ha'alois hayom ligalav. The mashal, the metaphor here is like the waves. Just like the waves of the sea, they come against the seashore, they come crashing down in a destructive force. Likewise, the nations are going to come against you and destroy you. Chazal used the term the Galois Hayam as a reference. I don't know if I'm really maybe going a little too far, as a suicide mission. When the waves they come to the Yam, they come crashing down and there's nothing left of them. It's a force that has great intensity, but that's it, it's over. It just dissipates. And here the image is that the nations are going to come against you without any regard for themselves. The hatred, the force of destruction that will come against the nation of Tsar will be like the massive waves of the sea, which come up and crash against the seashore and are completely destroyed. There's no benefit in, there's nothing in it for the waves. The waves, it's a force which is destructive, and then when it relieves itself, they have nothing to show for it. They just recede back into the ocean. So that is an idea, is that the hatred that the nations will have for Tsar, their desire to bring about its destruction, will bring no benefit to the other nations other than their desire to flex their muscles and to destroy. And that's a very frightening concept in how Hashem describes the Churban of Tsar. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Gimel. The Mitzvah Pasuk Gimel says, Hinei alecha tsar, hinei ani alochim b'cha, ata tsar Hashem. He says, I will destroy you. I'm going to bring against you goyim rabim, many nations. Who are the goyim rabim? Heim anshei bavel, this nation of bavel. The kehalois, just like Moshe Hayah Male Eskala of Beribui Otsum Be'ez Hasa'ara, Just like the sea brings the waves come against the sea in a storm.
The waves rise
in a storm. That's how I'm going to bring about your destruction. Okay, there is no Rashi. There is Radak. Radak Pasuk Gimel says.
It's a frequent analogy for threats against us, threats to drown us.
To drown us. Okay, but you don't have the idea with waves.
I'm saying in Midrash. Very often.
Drowning, the idea of...
To overwhelm us
with water. Okay, let's see with Radak. Radak, Pasuk Gimel says, L'chein nifa b'haloiz b'haloiz hayam l'galav ki b'hista'er hayam ibn ha'ruach ma'ala galav l'ma'ala, when the yam is affected by the winds of a storm, the waves, they rise up very tall, V'tegim yonasan ki misak yama be'is regushas galoihi, like the sea rises when the waves are turbulent. Okay, we all know from recent times the destructive nature of a tsunami. Okay, the tsunami, those waves, I mean, it's just incredible, the destruction that it brought to Indonesia. How many people died? It's horrifying what happened. And that's really, like, that's the image of the galois hayam. You want to go, we also have other stories of the riptide, right? That's also a power of the waves. The waves, they come upon a person, they pull the person in. They pull the person. It's also another form of destruction that is brought up to mind when mentioning the theme of the galei hayam. Let's pasuk dalet. Pasuk dalet now says, "V'shichasuchay masar, the walls of Tsar will be destroyed, v'harsu migdolecha, and its towers will be ripped down." V'sichesi afara mimena. Now here is an interesting idea. The word sichesi means to be uprooted. The earth mimena. The earth will be uprooted from the land. V'nasati yosol l'tzchiach sola. I'll make it a dry or smooth stone. So this means that the nation of Tsar was built upon on a rock. It's some type of island, it appears, an island that does not have any real soil. It's just hard rock land. And the people of Tsar, they were very, very clever, very industrious. They imported into this island all different types of materials to artificially create some type of land. Even, I guess, to the degree where they can grow things there, and they build buildings. They build buildings and they build structures. But ultimately, when these massive waves come and destroy the entire island, everything will be removed, everything will be drawn, all of the earth, all of the building materials will be drawn out into the sea, and there will be nothing left other than a dry, flat, smooth surface. Okay, now, let's just take a step back. There's a very interesting parish called the Mincha Gedoyla. I do not believe you have this in your edition. I have here in my edition the Mincha Gedoyla. And he really elaborates what is modern-day Tsar. And first he goes on to explain here, very interesting Yesoida is that we have another elaborate nevuah regarding Tsar in Sefer Yeshaya. And there it also describes the destruction. But yet at the end of that Nebuah in Yeshaya, it says that Tsar will be rebuilt. And here in these psukim, it says that Tsar will be destroyed, as we're going to see, and it will never be rebuilt. So to make a long story short, this parish called the Mincha Gedolah explains that there were three different korbanos that came upon the nation of Tsar. The first came upon the nation at the time of Yeshaya, namely, this more specifically, the time of Sancheirif, when Sancheirif exiled the 10 Shvatim. At that period of time, before he finished, before he was killed, before he was destroyed, he conquered the nation of Tsar, and he conquered the nation. But shortly after Tsar was destroyed by Sancheirif, they recovered. It was rebuilt. Then, 150 years later, or even a little bit more, Tsar was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we learned yesterday, was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, and was also destroyed. Was not obliterated. And then later, at the time of Parasumadai, at a later period of time, they were conquered a third time. And the third time it was conquered was a complete obliteration. Now, then he goes on to say is that the Tsar today, it seems there's an island called Tai. No,
it's a coastal city.
So he says here it doesn't exist anymore. What exists today was a replica. And it's very common when islands or when cities were conquered, were destroyed, people built a new city near, in the vicinity of the old city, or maybe not in the vicinity, but somewhere further away. And as a zecher for the old city, they named the new city after the old city. So he claims that from these psukim, it's mashma that Tsar does not exist. Tsar was an island. It was an island out in the Mediterranean somewhere, maybe up north. It's not even exactly clear where it was. And this island was a very great, powerful metropolis. It was a place of commerce. It was a beautiful, beautiful city. But it was completely obliterated and wiped off the map. Like the pasuk here, it says, "Litzchiach Salah," never to be rebuilt. Today, when we know there is some place, a coastal city called Tsar, Tyre, that is not the ancient Tsar. That is a newly established city that was named Lezecher Nishmas, the old city of Tsar. Yeah.
Legend of the lost city of Atlantis originates
in Tsar.
The wiped away island city of Tsar.
Okay, are there islands that are submerged beneath the Mediterranean? Do we know about such things today?
What they did is they connected Tsar to the mainland.
Artificial.
They did an artificial thing, and there was a big attack. They tried to knock it down.
Battery City, right?
Right.
They're building now in in China. They're doing this. Artificial islands. They're doing this all over the world now. It's becoming a big thing. There's a whole new thing now to artificial islands. All right. So therefore, these nevuos do seem to be. These are true nevuos. Let's go over here. Let's see the mitzudos stavid. Pasik dalin the mitzudos stavid. Pasuk v'sichesi. The word v'sichesi means I'm going to uproot. Ekar afar tiach binyan hamigolim. Not only will the towers, the structures be destroyed, even the foundation, the building materials, the foundation will be washed out to sea. There's going to be a massive tsunami that's going to cover, flood the entire island and pull with it out into the ocean, to the sea. All of the artificial materials that were imported to build this city.
That's not the same. It's conquest.
No. Well. Also, he's making. One of the farsha. Maybe it's the Malbim. One of the farsha he explains is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's medayikir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there are going to be two stages in its destruction. Number one, there's going to be a conquest by the nations, and after the nations conquer this island Tsar and plunder its spoils, Hashem says, I'm going to go in for the cleanup. I will bring about a natural disaster to wipe out the land as if there was nothing here to begin with. That's the sequence of these two. I think it's the Malbim says, if I'm mistaken, these are the two psukim. Pasuk Gimel first says, I'm going to bring upon the nation of Tsar goyim rabim. They're going to attack. They're going to conquer. They're going to plunder the spoils. And then when all of these nations leave, I will enter for the cleanup, Hashem says, bring a tsunami or some natural disaster and cause the ocean, the Mediterranean, to flood the nation of Tsar and to pull out, to clean out all of the materials, all of the earth, to the point where when the tsunami is finished, there will be nothing left but dry, smooth stone. Okay, let's again see over here in the Mitzudos Tavisichesi, Ekor Afar Tiach Binyan HaMigdolim, I'm going to uproot the dust of these towers. The etenes o'ir liyos ba yiveshus hasel will be dry stone. Return to Leimar. Tia mileya gale anovim usloy meapolas hamigdolim. It's going to be filled with piles of stones. Meapolas hamigdolim. He learns the Mitzvah that when these buildings collapse, it's going to be rubble. Lots of rubble lying on the land. Let's see, Rashi Pasuk Dalet tells us, V'sichesi, the Akarti, it means I will uproot. Kamo Beis Geyim, the home of the arrogant, Yisach Hashem will uproot. And then he quotes the Pasuk in the Toichacha, in Parshas Kisavai, V'nisachtem me'al ha'oretz. Kedam v'oretz, Hashem will uproot you from the earth. That is a Pasuk, so the next, Litzchiach Solah. What does it mean, Litzchiach, the smooth stone? Since it was built on a stone in the Yam, when it is demolished, the Yisach Afara El Hayam, and the earth is uprooted to the sea, Nishar Hasela Cholok, the stone is smooth. The smoothness of the rock of Kaif means a rock, Galei, an exposed rock.
A smooth, bare rock.
A smooth, bare rock. So therefore, this telling us a very fascinating insight into exactly what Tsar. Tsar was originally just a desert island, hard like a rock, hard like a stone. There was no earth, there was nothing. It was taken over by this country, and it was established, it was inhabited, and they built massive structures, they imported building materials, and now it's going to be destroyed, and it's going to be wiped clean to the like the way it was originally. Radak Pasik Dalit.
They didn't have natural materials to begin with. They
Sar? Sar? So you're saying, how then did they had all the cedar trees? Well, the truth is, maybe it's really it's there were two partners. There was Sidon and Tsar. So they went to, I think all of the materials from Tsar were taken from Sidon. He explains this over here. One of the Mefarshim is that they were like sister cities. These two cities, Sidon and Tsar. So Hiram, he was Melech Tsar, but he was also the king over Sidon. And in Sidon, it seems they did have materials which they were used to build the Beis Hamikdash. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasik Dalid Vishichasu Vishichasi Afar Vimenaki Tsar Nivna Salasela. Everyone says the same thing, that Tsar was built upon a stone. Beso Chayam, an island of stone in the Mediterranean. Vishichasel Afar. They imported earth. They brought in earth to cover the stone with afar, litzar chayishuv, so you should be able to, I guess, plant and to
this
grow
is the
things.
First case of landfill?
Yeah, it seems so. It seems that this is an example of a modern day an artificial island. Today, the artificial islands, they start with nothing. They just fill it up all the way around. Now, over here, they at least they started with bedrock, with some with hard land, and on top of that, they imported earth. V'chasher kisua mehayam eschubana. And when this the yam covered, flooded this island, sochavu, it drew, it uprooted the earth that was imported, v'hishlichu mimenu afara, and the sea caused all of the earth to be expelled, to be drawn into the sea, v'nishar, it was reverted to what was originally, hasela yovesh kumo shahoyah mitchila, it was dry, as dry stone like it was originally, letzchiach sela, the smooth stone, the highest, the peak of the stone is called this. Is called the tzichiach. It's a dry area. It says they will dry. They will dwell upon dry stone. I will satisfy the dryness of your neshama. If you listen to your game, lish ius, he does not translate as dryness, he translates as smoothness. Lish ius, keif gili klema sheia sela cholak will be smooth, the ain of afar, there is no. Same idea, either means dry or means it's going to be smooth. Okay, let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk, hey, goes on to describe what's going to become of Tsar. Mishtach cha romim tiye bisa chayam. It's going to be the spreading of nets in the middle of the sea. It's going to be plundered. It's going to be a place of derision for the nations. It's going to be a place where the fishermen, they're going to take their nets and spread it out upon this on this land to dry the nets or to prepare the nets, or it means they're going to use this land as a staging area to fish in the Mediterranean. There's going to be nothing there other than this. Let's see the Mitzvahs Pasuk Hey. What are they going to do this land? Pasuk Hey says, Mishtach Ha-Ramim. Mishtach means to spread out nets. Ritzon Olaymar. Lo tia oid melea misechadim kishahai. So you will no longer have merchants coming to the land. Ki mi'oz lo yaduru ba'kim tsayade dagim. The only ones that will visit this island will be fishermen. The Yifru Su Shama Harishasais Li Nagvam, they'll spread out upon the land their nets to dry them out from the sea. Beso Chayam Ki Tsar Yasha Bayam, Tsar was an island in the middle of the sea. Ki Ani Asha Bibarti, Vyodi Lohalakayim Devarai, Vahisotia Lashalol Agoyim, and it will be plundered by the nations. Hema Kastim, so here the Mitzvah says that this refers to the Babylonians. They are going to be the one that are going to conquer this land at this time. Okay, let's see. Rashi says, "Hey, Mishtach Harabim al Hasela Yishtichu Hadayogim." the fishermen will spread out upon the stone as chermei the nets. The chermei mich mi roisam. The chermei means two different words which mean the same thing. The nets of their traps, lenagvam, they should dry them out from the wetness of the ocean. Okay, radak pasik hey, mishlach alamim tiyah kishayat sayadim, yishlichu rishtoy sehem. When the fishermen, they spread out their nets, shamba isa selashia yavesh, vinagov, will be dry. Kimash, oimer achazer, vichisucha, hamayim harabim, yize yelisha kishayala hayam olech vishtefena. So, what it said before, that the sea will flood the land, that's going to be part of the destruction. But after the destruction is over, then it'll be dry land where the fishermen will spread their nets, vishuva hayam, lemakoima, vishah, selig yavesh, vinagov will be dry. When the goyim come, they will attack it, they will plunder it. It is interesting that the pasuk here describes that the end will be for fishermen. Fish is always represents the concept of going back to the very beginning of creation. Because we know there was a hefsik between the beginning of creation and the way we live today with the mabul. Everything today can be traced, the mabul, every living creature today can be traced to existing in the teva. The Teva was basically a science fiction movie, like you go out to outer space. Right? The world is being destroyed. Let's say you get a world, the world is being destroyed, so you get up on a spaceship and you go out into Mars, or you go out to some other world, and the world is destroyed, and then you come back and you return to this world. So anyone that's living today in this world cannot trace himself back to Maisa Bereshis, because Maisa Bereshis was destroyed. Hashem flooded the world, he destroyed all the animals, all every living creature, and this world was repopulated by aliens. Who are the aliens? We are the aliens. We are the aliens. We got in a ship in the Teva, which was some supernatural, thank you very much, thank you very much, which was some type of supernatural, I don't know, what Star Trek, whatever you were, some ship. And we Hashem took us above the korban of this world, and when the waters receded, the world was reestablished, then we returned to inhabit this world. So really, we cannot trace ourselves from the only thing that can trace themselves from the world were the fish. Because the fish did not come into the Teva. What? It's the same human beings, but we can't connect ourselves. We can't connect ourselves to this world, because we were taken from this world, and this world was altered in an unrecognizable way. We're not natives. Chazal say this: we are not natives to this world. Hashem created the world Adam in a world Adam. It was natural. Afar min ha'adama. This was his home. A person feels comfortable at home. We all know that an immigrant, a refugee, an immigrant does not feel comfortable. It takes generations for a person to adapt to a new culture. That's why Sanhedrin repopulated nations. Because when you're not living, you're not native to your homeland, you don't feel comfortable. But one of the Oroiv, what was Oroiv? Hashem did not only bring the animals into Egypt, Hashem brought with the animals their environment. Hashem brought v'yesha ofar, Hashem heimoleha. It says by the Makos, Hashem brought the wild animals into Egypt with the earth that they were accustomed to, with the trees, with the environment, because if an animal is brought into a foreign habitat, it doesn't feel comfortable. It's not going to attack. It's not going to do what it does. It has to feel comfortable. Man was very comfortable in this world. Part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu tamed man, not to sin. Kiyetze leiv adam ra minu urav was HaKadosh Baruch Hu took man from this world. Hashem destroyed this world with the mabul. Gofris, the world was the old different memory chazal. The world was destroyed. And then Hashem repaired the world, or basically recreated the world, and took a human being who was not natural to the new world, who was natural to the old world, and put him in this world again. Came out of the Teva. When Adam came out of the Teva, this is not my world. This is not the way what I'm used to. I was used to a world where there were different types of seasons. We all know that the world was a very, the quality of life in the world was very different before the Mabul than it was after the Mabul. So basically, man today does not feel at home in this world. And that is to his advantage, because he doesn't feel the desire to sin. He's preoccupied subconsciously in adapting to his new environment and does not have the time to do averos. The only creature in this world that's very comfortable here are the fish. And that is why fish are one of the only creatures who are cannibals. Fish eat up each other alive. Okay, human beings, it's not natural to other creatures to eat. Each creature is a predator. Many creatures are predators. They eat other animals. But they don't eat each other. The only creatures who eat up each other are fish. The big fish eat the small fish. Why is that so? Because fish feel very comfortable in this world. They're very comfortable because they have never been taken away from this world. They were not part of this world in the novel. They have chutzpah. They have an attitude problem. They're like and that's why they are, even though we don't appreciate it, we don't see, they are much more aggressive in their survival than other creatures. So when the pasuk employs this metaphor of telling us that Tsar is going to revert into a place of fish, a fisherman, it basically means it's going to go back to the way it was in the very, very beginning. When Hashem created Tsar, there was nothing there. It was just hard stone, hard rock land. Along came this civilization. They went and imported earth. They built magnificent structures and buildings. Who knows what technology they had? Maybe they had technology that would make us look like fools. Who knows what they had? And yet Hashem says the day will come because they rejoiced over the Chum of Yerushalayim, the day will come when, if they were the ones who were commissioned to build the Beis HaMikdash, they obviously knew things, they had talent and skill that the world did not have. David HaMelech and Shlomo, the Chacham Mikol Adam, had to go and tap into their wisdom and their resources to build the Beis HaMikdash, Tzion and the Tzar. Obviously, there was something very special about these two nations. And yet, because they got carried away in their gaiva, they were obliterated off the face of the map, to the point where Hashem brought a tsunami and wiped them dry clean. And the image the pasuk gives is, it's going to be a place for fishing. When you use the concept of fishing, it captures the theme of going back to Maisa Bereshis. Because fish are the only creatures that take us back all the way to Maisa Bereshis. We said many times that on Shabbos, why is there such an Indian on Shabbos to eat fish? Kol ha'oichel dog b'dog, yinotzel midog. Anyone who eats a fish on Dalet Gimel on Shabbos, Dalet Gimel is 3 + 4 = 7, will be nitzel, will be saved from dog. Dina shel gehenim. Why do we eat fish on Shabbos? Because Shabbos is all about Maisa Bereshis. Shavas Vayinofash. Hashem created the world in 7 days and he rests on the seventh day. Can we trace our existence to Maisa Bereshis? No. Because we were removed from this world at the time of the Mabul. When we eat meat, can the meat trace itself to Maisa Bereshis? No. Because the animals were removed from this world, put in the table, and Hashem destroyed the world and recreated a new world, altered the world in such a magnificent way where we can't even say it's the old world. The only thing that can trace its existence is a fish. Every fish is an anical of the fish that was created at Maisa Bereshis with no interruption whatsoever. So therefore, we have fish. We employ over here, it's machshav, we employ over here this concept of fish to describe the ultimate korban of Tsar. Okay, let's see. So we did over the Radak. Now we go to the next pasuk vav. Uvinoisech Hashem Basodeh. Now Uvinoisech. Here we have a new insight into Tsar. Tsar did not just have the mother island, but there were suburbs, there were satellites, there were other little islands that surrounded Tsar, which were all part of the motherland. Uvinoisech, all of the suburbs of Tsar, Asher Basodeh, which means they were not protected. Tsar itself, not only was it an island, it had a wall, it says, in the beginning of the pasuk, the beginning of this section. I'm going to destroy the walls of Tsar, but the other lands, the suburbs did not have walls. Uvinoisech, Asher Basodeh, Vacherev Teharagna, the people, the inhabitants, will be killed by the sword. And when this happens, V'yadu kinei Hashem, you will then know that I am Hashem. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos, David, uvenasecha, hakefarim, hasmuchim la, the villages that are near, asher basadeh, yeharek ha'ev es ha'anashecha, the enemy will kill you, their people, ki ani Hashem, ha'nemen l'shalim, I am Hashem, who is faithful. Rashi, Pasuk, there is the Rashi, Pasuk Vav, uvenasecha, asher basadeh, hey makfarim, hamishubadois, la'sivivasecha, these are the suburbs that are dependent, are subordinate to the motherland. Radak pasik hey, above just two words. Uvenosecha heim hakefarim teharagna ye. Uvenosecha, her daughters, which mean the concept means the suburbs. Teharagna yeharagu anshem, their people will be killed. Pasik zag, we continue. We're not finished yet. Kikoyam Hashem lokim. Hirni pasik zaynhirni mevi al elzar nevuchad retzar. Melech, we'll notice over here that in Yechezkel he also employs the resh and not the dalet. In Yirmiyah, 95% of the time, it's always Nevuchad Retzar. In Yeshaya, it's Nevuchad Netzar with a nun. Nevuchad, so they're over here, but Yechezkel also uses the resh. Nevuchad Retzar, Melech Babel Mitzafayin, I'm going to have him come from the north. Now here we had this idea not that long ago. We called Nebuchadnezzar the Melech Melochim. Hashem is the Melech Malchei HaMelochim. Nebuchadnezzar, the superpower of the world, is called the Melech Melochim. He is the king over other kings. Besus, he will arrive upon the Tsar with horses, uberech of chariots, uviforoshim and horsemen, the kohol and an assembly, the Am Rav and many pride, many nations. Now,
if Tsar was an island, you had to get there.
Yeah, so how do you get there? So it must then be there was a path, like Battery City, right? It must then be there was some type of, the same way they built an artificial island, they built in the Mediterranean, they built some type of bridge. They built some type of connecting bridge between the coastland, the coast, and the island. So it says so that Nebuchadnezzar is going to arrive there, he's called the Melech Melochim, he's going to go with horses, chariots, horsemen, a kohol, the Am Rav. Mitzudos, David, Pasuk, Zayin, Melech Melochim, Ritzon Olam, Melech Moshel, Al Melochim. Nebuchadnezzar was the king who ruled over other kings. The kohol, the Am Rav, Kofal Adav, Bimulashonos, repetition for emphasis. Rashi, Pasuk, Zayin, there is none. Radak, Pasuk, Zayin, Kikol, Kihamar, Melech Melochim, Kikol, Mal, Kikol, Mal, Chiyaritz, Hayu, Tachtav, he was in charge. V'yamar zeret and loymar shuyavat al tzor in malchei umos ki hu melech aleihem v'yivim l'asher yirtzeh. Nevuchadnezzar had influence. Nevuchadnezzar tells the other nations to help him, to assist him. They listen. Here, that's it. Next pasuk ches. Now binosayich basodeh b'chedav yaharogu. Binosayich means your daughters in the field. This is a repetition. The same exact thing as we had before. There's a lot of repetition. I don't know why, but your suburbs that are basada. Sada means it's an open field. There are no walls. In contrast to Tsar, which had a wall, Bacherev Yaharoig, they will kill the inhabitants with a sword. Vinosan Olayich Doyek, they will build against Tsar a rampart. The Shofach Alach Soil, they'll build a ramp. Doyek is a tower. Like they'll build a Doyek means a tower. A tower from where to see, to view, to get a vision on what's doing inside the land. V'shafach alach sa'ilah, they'll build ramps to the top of the walls. Ve'ikim olayich tzina, and they will establish defensive force because they are shields to protect them from any missiles that are being shot from the city against the invading army. Pasuk ches in the Mitzudos David. B'nosayich anshei hakfadim ha'imdim lasode yaharoig b'cherev, will be killed by sword. Tzina, Ritzon Eloheim Anoshim Levushei Tzina, they're going to take with them, they have shields. Arashi, Pasuk Ches, Veikim Olach Tzina, Vikim Alach Di Mizainin Bitrisin. I will bring up against you weapons, and the weapons will include shields. Okay, Radak, Pasuk Ches, Binosach, Doyek, Soila, all these are different terms. Pirashti, Lamala, Biparashas, Levena, and Perigdalid. Different types of techniques and structures that were built by the enemy to conquer a city that is under siege. Tzina, what is a tzina? It's a shield. Kli Magen, this is a shield. Hanikra, whatever it's called. Bulaz of Aravi. V'yadasam tergim v'yikim alach dim zainin, means a weapon. Bisrisin, with shields. The same idea. Okay, now here's very interesting. Pasuk test is very interesting. Pasuk test is machloikis, what this means. There's a lot of interesting, the Mal, it's a very interesting Malbum. Umechi kovoloi yitain b'choymo soich. And this simply means, according to most of the Farshim, it means like a battering ram. Umechi means to bang. Kovolo means against. So they had, we know, these iron sledgehammers that looked like rams or bulls, and they would smash them into the wall. So kovolo means opposite. Mechi means to smash. They would smash these very heavy, massive objects into the wall. Yitain, they will deliver b'choymo saich into the wall. Umigdilo saich, and your towers, yitots, they will demolish b'charvo yisav with their swords. Which is a strange expression, because you don't demolish a tower with a sword, you demolish a tower with a sledgehammer. So what it means over here is that it'll be very easy. They won't even have to bring out the heavy weapons. It'll be so easy for them to conquer your towers. They will be able to do it even with an ordinary weak weapon that's not an intended purpose, a regular sword. Now let's see first the Mitzudos Pasuk Tes. Umechi kavoloi. What is this? Now let's look in the Mitzudos Tzion. Here it's very unique. There's more Mitzudos Tzion than there is Mitzudos David. How often do you have that? So Mitzudos Tzion, Umechi kavoloi. What does it mean? Shem kli milchama. This is the name of a certain type of weapon, asuya, which was made lizrek bo avonim, in order to cast, to hurl stones.
Catapult.
Lahakos b'choyma kinegda. So he's not learning that it's a battering ram. It's a missile launcher.
It's a catapult.
Ki mechi hu targuma shel hakoah. The word mechi is the translation of the word to hit. Vikovoloihu targuma shel neged, to hit opposite. So you catapult stones in this launcher against the wall. Okay, that's the Mitzudos. So back to the Mitzudos David. Now let's go back to the Mitzudos David. This weapon, this catapult, you will set opposite the wall of Tsar. Lizroik ima, avonim, to use this weapon to cast, to hurl stones. L'shaber hachoymos, to break the walls, b'char bo'isav, and then they will demolish yitoits, the towers, with their swords. So he says this word term, charvois, which normally means a sword, is a reference here to some type of sledgehammer, b'chli ha'asui l'nateitzbo, which is used to demolish. Let's see Rashi pasik, tesu m'chi kovoloi, it's the same thing as the Mitzudos. Hu echot mitachbulois ha'motza. This is one of the techniques that is used by the enemy when they besiege a city. Lizrek boy avonim gidolos, they would hurl very large stones, umake kinegdo, the stones would impact, would bang into the wall, and it would weaken the wall. Michal, you have the translation of these words? These French words?
Great.
A lot of French words
it's a
here.
Strange expression. And the striking of his stone-throwing machine.
The stone-throwing machine, some type of catapult. Bechar voitsov, be'umanuyois, this means through their craftsmanship. Churban sheyavi imo, the churban becharvoisav.
I don't. Churban, they brought along special, C4 to blow up the walls.
Right.
C4, the dynamite to blow. Churban sheyavi imo, different types of tools and techniques and weapons, explosives to destroy the world, destroy the walls. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk tes says the kamat, the same exact thing. Umechi kavaloi perusher boishahoy kli shemashlichem boi avonim b'chayma linotza, to destroy. Umechi makah targum makah mochei kavaloi neged targum neged kavel v'chenyak v'yakel kavel am neged am. Okay, that's so far. He said exactly what it says in Rashi and in the Mitzudos. Now he gives a new interpretation, and this means it was a battering ram. V'yesh l'farish ki hamem nosefes.
Something else.
Some other type of weapon. they would use this sledgehammer to shatter the stones. Okay, now the Malbim here is something very interesting, and this is something which is a message. The message is, if you look at the Malbim, Dibur Pasuk Tes, Umechi Kavolo, Ritzon Loimar, Hamogen. He translates Umechi to mean the shield. And it's a continuation of Pasuk Ches. In Pasuk Ches it says, the enemy will attack by building a tower and then building a ramp in order to ascend the wall. And as they ascend the wall on this ramp, the enemy is going to come under attack by the people living in the city. So the soldiers who attack have to protect themselves by constructing shields. As they ascend the ramp, they're shielded with some type of a shield. This shield will absorb all of the missiles, all of the arrows, all of the different types of weapons. And then when they reach the wall, they won't even need to take out, the enemy will not need to take their own weapons, their own bullets, their own stones. They'll just take the arrows off the shield and use those same arrows to conquer the city. So in other words, the city will be destroyed from the weapons of the city itself. Like it's like friendly, so like that's not really friendly fire. It's that
they're turning their weapons back on them.
Exactly, they're going to turn their weapons back on them. Like they have today, they try today the little technology to go and to hack into the computer systems of the enemy nations. And when the missiles launch, so they're able to take over the computer, the guidance system. And instead of the missile going and being launched to another country. You hack the system where the missile will come and return, make a U-turn and boomerang and come back and destroy the country who has launched the missile itself. And exactly what it's saying. It's saying over here is that's how he learns. That's the Malbim learns is that umechi means what has been absorbed, the arrows and the missiles that have been absorbed by the shields of the enemy that is attacking, kovolo. They will redirect against the city who has launched these missiles, yitain b'choymosaych, and that will be sufficient to destroy the city. They will not have to spend their own money on buying weapons and buying different objects to arrows or whatever it is. Let's just see the words of the Malbim inside. Ritzon Loimar in Pasuk Tes Hamogain, the shield. Sheyakin, that they will establish the Kabbal Hachitzim to accept, intercept the arrows. Kishe Yimche, when you will clean, when you will remove the Yorik and empty out these arrows from the shield, Masha Kibel Hamogain, Hainu Hachitzim, these are the arrows Shenoflu L'Soich, that fell into the shield. Yitain Hachitzim Ho'ele, they'll take these very same arrows, B'choymo Saich, and will launch them against your wall. Uvahem atzmam yashchis hachoymer shalach. Your wall will collapse. You'll do it to yourself. We will not have to destroy you. Your own firepower will end up destroying yourself. Your missiles will boomerang and come and destroy yourself. So Amar al Tzaram leads to the Ramalim explains that this is what's the message. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu over here is saying a very powerful form of destruction. Shelo yitzdarech el choymosayich kilei tosach. The enemy will not need to destroy your walls with any of their own destructive utensils. The avnei kela gedolim rak yed avnei kela gedolim will not need to use any slingshots. Rak yed die. It'll be sufficient b'mechi kovaloi. It will be sufficient to destroy you with the weapons that we have absorbed or we have captured. That will be enough to destroy your... So you've done it. What's the message? Tsar, you've brought this upon yourself. The Khorban of Tsar has been brought upon themselves through their joy in saying, Imalo
Hoharava. Is there a modern version for Tsar today? What would that be?
So before you came, we discussed this. So we discussed, we said that today, according to this division, according to the Minchah Gedolah, doesn't exist. The modern day Tsar that they're tired of this today has been in some new city. It's a new city that has been named after the ancient Tsar, but the ancient Tsar of the time of Yechezkel ceases to exist.
Sank in.
Maybe they have some studies where it is, but it seems it does not exist.
Interesting. You translated that some machine will be used to destroy the towers, and then the tower will be hacked with the sword. So that is why nobody addresses. Yes, a machine, but we don't know what is the machine. They try to destroy the towers. Towers usually on the towers are people, the defendants.
Yeah.
The tower will collapse. Then it will take out the sword and kill the people, not the tower. The people on the tower.
No, okay, but right. Okay. It could be different interpretations. It could be different. But we hear. I don't know.
Also, the shields were made out of a thick leather that was stretched across a wooden frame.
So it absorbed.
It gets stuck
inside. So they just took out the arrows and the shield and they threw it back at the people. Pasuk Yud, Mishifas Susav Yichaseis Avokom. From the abundance, shifas means the enormity, the abundance of the horses. Yichaseicha, when horses gallop, they make a lot of dust. And the dust will be so intense because there will be so many horses that will come in and march against the city, so the entire city will be covered in dust, period. Mikol parash, from the sound of the horsemen, the galgal, and the wheels, v'rechav, and the chariots making noises, tir'ashna chemosach, the walls will shake. There'll be such a commotion, there'll be so many soldiers coming to attack the city of Tsar, that alone, the dust will cause there to be darkness, and the sound of, and the commotion of the horse and the chariots will cause the walls to shake, when they come into your gates, as if you come into a city that has been broken open. They will come into the, when they come into the gates of the city, into the gates, to the, it will appear in the image, in the minds of the people, it will be as if the walls have collapsed. The walls didn't collapse, they're coming into the front gate. Why would you say, we have over here an image at the end of the book, like a city that has been broken open. The city is not broken open. The enemy is coming into the front gate. But because there are so many soldiers, so many people coming into the front gate, it appears in the mind of the people living in the city as if the walls have been completely demolished and the enemy, and there's no defense, there's nothing, there's no defense for the city. Useless. Let's see the Yudim to the David. Mishifas, Mimarbis, the word Mishifas means from the abundance of Susav, Yichasu Asach Avak, the dust will cover you. Ha misabek beritzas ragli hasusim, which the dust that is going to kick up through the running of the horse of the horses, bivao beis yava bisharayich meblin manea, when they come into your city, there will be no one holding them back. Kimosha boim kolaritzim el ir shenivka ochay mosa, just like a city whose wall has collapsed, there is nothing holding back the enemy from penetrating. Here, even though the wall has not yet collapsed, when they come into the gate of the city, there will be no one holding them back. It will be like the wall has collapsed. Ritzenu leimar lo yuchal mi la'akev al yedo lebal yavo ha'iro. No one will be able to hold them back from coming. Rashi pasik yud mishifas susav kishayesh susim harbei. When there are many horses, malim avok beraglehem. They cause there to be dust. The oila v'nase ki'onon. It creates an artificial cloud. Umach shich ha'aretz. The land is dark. Hu karui shifas. The abundance of water will cover you. The abundance of the camels will cover you. We have this many different times. This idea of what shifas means, the abundance. Okay, next. Just like you enter into a city whose gate has been breached, whose wall has been penetrated. Radak pasik yud mishifas susav miribui v'chein shifas gemalim techaseich v'chiseich del derech afloga. Okay, means avakam ha'avak shayalu b'raglayim, they're going to kick up dust. Tir ashnuch emosayich al derech afloga. This is an exaggeration. The walls are going to shake due to the commotion. Kimuayir mivukah kamosha boim beir mivukah below yigia below milchama. Just like you come into a city that has no wall, it's easy. There's no defensive force. Ken yavo b'sharayach mivoei kibbutz mimavo. That's a grammatical term. Next pasuk. Pasuk yidal b'farsoy susav yirmos eskol chutzo soyich. With the hooves of the horses, they will trample upon all of your courtyards, all of your streets. Amech, your people b'cherev yaharoik. umatzvois uzeich la'aretz tered, and the monuments of your might will be cast down to the earth. I guess all of your statues, right? Remember the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein, all of those statues, all those pictures, they came, the first thing they did, these were all the matzevos. Saddam was sakim l'cha matzeva. Don't make for yourself a matzeva. Asher sonei Hashem, right? So when you put up a statue, when you're putting up a statue, you're really putting up a matzeva. And when they come into the country, they're going to rip down all of your statues. Umatzvois uzech, your mighty monuments, la'aretz teril, will be thrown down to the ground. Listen to another pasuk. V'shalu chelech, they will plunder your wealth. That's a nice vocabulary word. Rechulasech means your assets. It's like l'selech rachil ba'amecha. Don't be a table bearer. What's a rachil? A peddler. A peddler has merchandise. You travel from place to place, you peddle your merchandise. So the word rechulasech is the noun form of a peddler, which means this is the merchandise of the peddler. The harsuchay masach, they will destroy, they will demolish your walls, and your homes that are the source of delight, yitotsu, they will shatter, they demolish, va'avanayich, and your stones, ve'itzach, and your wood, va'forech, and your earth, v'sech ma'im yosimu, they'll throw into the ocean. Everything will be thrown into the ocean. Let's see these two psukim in the Mefarshim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and the Mitzvot David. Yud Aleph, Umatzvois, Uzech, HaMakomos, HaGvaos, V'HaChazakos, Tered, Kol Achas, V'tipol Aretz, V'lo Tischazek Bohen. All of your mighty fortresses will be destroyed. Pasuk Yud Beis, V'Avonayich, Mibinyan Habatim, V'HaChimos, the stones, V'soch, Maim Yosimu, Yapilu El Hayom, She'et Selur, since this city is in an island, it'll be thrown into the ocean. V'hishpati avatel mimech kol hemyas hashir. That's the next pasuk. Let's see Rashi first. The Rashi Yud Beis says, Rechulasech means sechorosech, your merchandise. It will all be plundered. Radak pasuk Yalvin Yud Beis, beparasos susav matzvos uzech laretz tered heim hamigdolim hagvahim shehem nitzavim l'mayla. These are very tall towers. Vehem matzevos ha'ois. These are these mighty monuments, kivah yo'oz v'yisagev adam, in these things a person would seek refuge, in these mighty structures. Uve amrei tered, and this that it says will be descend, ratzoloimar kol achas min ha-matzevot, says loshen yochid, each one will be destroyed. V'shololu chelech, they will plunder your wealth, kitargumo nechsach, your assets, rechu losech, sechorosech, your merchandise, v'afarech, and your earth, afar ha-binyon. Pasuk Yud Gimel, translation of the section, Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'shbati Hamoin Shiroyech, the abundance or the commotion of your songs will come to an end. Okay, Shiroyech means your songs. The kol kinarayech, the sound of your harps, lo yishama'od. Your music will cease to exist. Pasuk Yudalid, v'nusatich litzchiach sela, it's a repetition, I'll make you a dry, smooth stone. Mishtach charamim tihyeh, it will be the place where you spread out nets. Lo siboneo. This is very critical. As we mentioned when we started today's shiur, this is contradicted in what it says in Sefer Yeshaya, that Tsar will live to live again, will live to see another day. And as we explained then before, is that there were different tekufos. When Yeshaya prophesied over the Churban of Tsar, that was during the time of Sancheirif. And indeed, after Tsar was destroyed, it recovered, it was rebuilt. But at the time of Yechezkel, when he prophesies over the Churban of Tsar, later destruction of Tsar, it says here clearly, lo siboneot. So anyone who says today that Tsar still exists is making a big mistake, because the pasuk says it does not exist. Any Tsar we have today is obviously a different city that was named after the ancient city of Tsar. Ki ani Hashem dibarti, we have that idea with Yerichai. Yericho also may not be built. So Yericho today, the Yericho that existed at later points in time, even today, is not the ancient Yericho. That's a city that's built near the ancient Yericho, that is called after the ancient Yericho. I think even today archaeologists have uncovered the ancient Yericho. They found the foundation, they found different artifacts that seem to indicate that this rubble is the place where the ancient Yericho was once located, but that's not where the new Yericho is today. That is in a different section. It was only named after the ancient Yericho. Okay, Kiani Hashem Dibarti Nu Mashem Lakim. Let's see over here these two psukim in Pasuk Gimel Gidal Nimesu the study. The Gimel says, V'shpati avatim emech kol hemyas hashir v'oid lo yishama sham kol kinarayich. you'll no longer hear, there'll no longer be music. It's an interesting idea, is that every nation, every culture has its unique music. Think about that. Isn't that a very interesting idea? The music of America, rock and roll, rap, all this type of strange stuff, this is unique to America. And the French to have their music. Of course, in college of music, you learn about every culture has a unique music. The music represents the soul of the culture. One of my favorite veritloch is in Parshas. Vayigash. Is it Vayigash? No, it's the Parsha before Vayeshev. Vayeshev is when Yaakov says to his children, you're going to go down to Yosef, and in Cain, Zosasu. If I have no choice but to allow you to take Binyamin, in Cain, Efo, Zosasu. I have no choice, we're going to starve to death. I have no choice but to allow you to take Binyamin. You're going to go down to the Mishnah Lamelech, to Yosef, and you're going to beg Yosef to release Shimon. And in the process, you're also going to buy food and bring some shever from Mitzrayim to the land of Canaan, and we'll have what to eat. But if you're going to go in Kenefo Zosasu, Kuchulochem Mizimra Soretz, Ma'atsiri, I don't know the pasuk by heart, take you different types of spices, different types of things, and present it as a gift to the Mishneh Lamelech. And indeed, they go down to Mitzrayim, and it says in the pasuk, Vayochinu es hamincha, they prepared the gift. And the Gun goes on to say they presented the gift. It says, I think, four times. There are four psukim which make mention of the gift. The gift was a very significant thing. If you have a medrash that told us there was a gift, that would be enough. The fact that Pasuk has to go on and say that they prepared the gift, they gave him the gift, there's a very strong emphasis regarding the delivery, the preparation, the idea, the preparation, and the delivery of the gift to Yosef. Rabbi Wolfson says, what was the gift? Besides the pshuta shel mikra, what was the pshuta shel ma'at sari, different types of spices? It's mizimras ha'aretz. Give him a CD. We'll tell you no more CDs. Today it's flash drive. Give him a flash drive. Give him a flash drive that has a unique song, a melody from Eretz Yisrael. In Egypt, they have their music. And in this country of their music, what give him the melody, the beauty, the song of the land. Eretz Yisrael, the people who live in Eretz Yisrael are inspired to produce a distinct, a unique type of music, melody, which touches the soul of a person. And when you'll play the music for this person, the Mishneh Lamelech, it will inspire him, it will change his attitude towards you, and maybe he will have rachmanis and will be willing to release Binyamin. The zemer, mizimra asaretz, the zemer. So here it is very interesting that from the last pasuk to describe here, it's not the last, so we have really more pasuk to describe, but the pasuk emphasized there's so many things you can say about the churban of a nation. You can say their art has been destroyed. You can say their buildings, their architecture. You can say their natural resources, their talents. There's so many things, there's no end to how many things you can say about when you want to describe the Chum of a nation, when it came to an end. And here, what does it choose to say in this pasuk? Their music will come to an end. No one, there'll be no record that of their unique type of melody, the unique zemer that this country has contributed to the world.
That's what they did by the Pope. They gave music.
Okay, but that's what it says. That's a very interesting idea of what the pasuk tells you about the end of Tsar. Back to the Mitsudo Stav, let's finish over here. Lo Sibone, we'll go back to pasuk Yudalid, Litzchiach Sela, Tia Melea Migale Avne Hamapolis, the land will be filled with rubble. Mishtach Charoim, we had this before, it will be a place to spread out nets. Hatzayadim yifushu shama rish toisam, they will spread out their nets, linagum to dry them, like it said before, lo yadu bo oid sechadim visadim lihis aneg bishir vikol kinar. No longer will there be people who will take delight in the music and song of the land. Kimyata yadu sham tsayadi dogim nivzim ushefalim. This represented the lowest profession a person can have in ancient times, to be a fisherman. And that's not true today. Today it's a good parnasa. but in ancient times, it represented the lowest person in society. That is who will now occupy the land. Now, here the Mitzudos, he throws in something which is very controversial. When it says, Lo Sibone Od, I told you it means, literally, it will cease to exist. That's not what he says. L'hiyos kishahoysa. It will exist. It's just not going to exist in the same level, the same way it was in the past. There's no Rashi, Radak finish up, these two psukim are done. Yud Gimel and Yud Dalid, Vishpati Hamoin Shiroyach, Ribu Shirayach, Shayisa Semechel, Umenagenes, Vishoro, Neroiv Toiva. So he learns here a different interpretation. She says over here that the song represents the happiness. That in the good old days, Tsar was a land of abundance, a land of blessing. And when people would walk in the street, they would sing to themselves. When a person is happy, you sing. You naturally sing in the shower. So no longer will there be people singing in the streets because there's nothing to be happy about. Next, words in the Radak. Unisatich. Okay, this is some grammar. Lo sibon od v'yoshehi binuya hayom. Also here, the Radak says something very important. That today, we find on the map, there is a city called Tyre. That's not in the ocean. That's not an island. That's along the coast. That's on the mainland. He by Yabasha. Al Sfas Hayam. Ki Tsar Hakiduma Hi Beso Chayam. Vihi. This no longer exists. This is now a Tsichiach Sela. It is dry, smooth stone. Not like the Mitsudos that said Kemosha Hoysa. He's telling us here that does not exist. Tezvav is the next pair, is the next section. So here we have concluded this section. We'll stop over here.